So praise the Lord. We're all finding our seats, and God's good, isn't he? Amen. We are just so blessed to be living in such a beautiful place as Broome, aren't we? Amen. Had a little bit of downtime yesterday and went driving up Cable Beach, didn't we, Matt? And had a little bit of fun up the beach there. Johnson pulled his drone out, and we saw an angle of Cable Beach that not many people get to see. We popped his drone up, and then set the drone so that it focused only on the car, and then we went driving along Cable Beach with the drone following us and circling the car as we went. And it was just at sunset. There was beautiful thunderstorms out the front there in Gantham, and just lightning strikes as we're going along, and of course we're being circled by the drone, you know, about sort of 30 metres up. Beautiful footage. I couldn't wait to get home and plug it into the TV to look at it. It was so pretty. At one stage we're waving at the drone as it goes by, but beautiful. What technology gives you this day and age is just amazing, isn't it? But it still doesn't outweigh the technology that God wants to download into our lives. How we can live with him, for him, and of course, you know, not just work for him, but actually work with him. Amen. God's calling us to that. And I really see an underlying truth here for us today is that he wants to bless every little area of our lives, every little area. He wants to be central to it. It's not, he just doesn't want to bless our church life. He wants to bless our big life, the whole part of our life. And we need to make sure that we submit all of our ways to the Lord. And you watch, he'll bring blessing. Well, we've, as you know from last week, we started off on a little new series, and of course it's very much aligned to where we were, but it's I'd call it a parallel topic, if you like. And we titled that The Promise of the Father. And we've been seeing that the new covenant that we enter into as believers, it's one that comes with the promise of God's presence in our life. Well, we can look to the Lord to actually know and be sensitive to his presence in our life. You know, where he's just, you know, working with us and, you know, impressing upon our heart about one thing. And you know, it becomes lifestyle. It becomes the thing that we do and the thing that we experience. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 16, he says, and I will pray, this is Jesus talking, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, 16. This is Jesus talking just before he goes to the cross. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That word helper, it's a Greek word, parakletos. And it means one called to your side to take up together with you against. What is it that you're facing? The Holy Spirit's there as your helper. You know, to walk with you through it, walk, you know, be with you in the midst of your situation, no matter what it is. And not only that, but no matter how impossible it looks, God wants to be your helper. And that's, we're talking about, you know, we need to know that the one constant in the eternal life that we have received is the presence of God through and by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit when he talked about that helper. And what we've been seeing is that God's presence in our life is purposeful, it's powerful. His presence and power is for God's will in heaven to be done on earth. And it's powerful and it's divine and it's supernatural, and we ought to learn to live that way. And of course, what we've been through is we realise is that prayer connects our lives to God's will when we pray. Talked about that a little bit by that earlier encouragement exhortation there, but we've already made the connection between prayer, God's presence, and God's power. We're going to do that a little bit more today. Prayer, presence, power. God's presence turns up, there'll be power. And what we have to do is we have to learn how to walk in an ever increasing sense of God's presence in our life. And when we do, there's power. Power to know things, see things. Worked with Pastor Margaret for a good number of years, and she was always saying and speaking over her leadership team, God bless you all for what you do. Thank you for all you do. And she was always very grateful. And, you know, no matter what sort of area of service you were, no matter what meetings we were in, if it was people serving the Lord, she says, thank you for all you do. Praise the Lord for you. And, you know, very, very grateful. And then she'd say, I just see you all seeing and knowing. Just see you all seeing and knowing. And she'd say that, just see you all seeing and knowing. And what she was saying was, she's saying, we ought to see and know. You know, what she was speaking out over her ministry team was, you need to see and know. And that's something that comes out of the Holy Ghost, out of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, is to see and know. Amen. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. And just love the story. Don't you love the story of Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful? That's a wonderful story. So inspired by that account. They're already prayerful at the time of the event. They've already been in prayer that day at least twice, if you know the Jewish pattern. They've already been at prayer twice. And we pick up the story on their way to the to prayer about the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m. That's the 3 p.m. prayers. Okay, they've already had two events in prayer if they're following that prayer schedule of the Jewish nation. I've just seen the birth of the church with power. So we're in Acts chapter 3, and they've just seen 3,000 people saved and on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people come to the Lord that day because of what happened there on the day of Pentecost. Very powerful. And of course, I can tell you now, Peter and John are passionate about prayer. You know, they've just been praying for at least 40 days for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which came down on the day of Pentecost and filled the house, and they're all moved and touched and filled and of course greatly touched by the Spirit of God. But you know, you can tell that they hadn't had enough yet. So there they are on the way to prayers, and of course it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we pick it up in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, and it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, third time in the day for the Jewish people. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Good place to be. If you're in the, you know, receiving business and you've got a need and you've, you know, you need to receive money, that's a good place to be there at the Gate Beautiful. It's an access area. People are walking past and he's got his little, maybe his little sign out or whatever, letting people know that he's in need, and he's got it all going on. And it says, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Only thing is, they only had something from God to give him. And we see how it goes on. Peter, then Peter goes in verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. And of course, the question for all of us is, what did they have to give? I tell you, they'd been in prayer. They had the presence of God going. What they had to give was power. You know, a demonstration of the power of God for that man's life, right where his point of need was. And they, of course, pray. You know, Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. He was somewhat happy. Somewhat happy. And entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew who he was. That's the guy that always sits near the Gate Beautiful and asks for alms. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful Gate, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Praise the Lord, it's a great story, and I like to read on too. But today, it's for us to realize that it was God's presence that they had, that therefore had God's power. You know, notice, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for God's sons and daughters. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is for God's sons and daughters, those that connect with the Father's heart through prayer and the presence of the Holy Spirit, will and can expect power to be available, power to be released when the need is there. Yeah. Amen. Well, we've got one person excited already. That's great. You know, we need to be a people that are forever rising up to that appreciation of how the miraculous works. It's because we pray. It's because we then enjoy his presence, and it's then because there's a power available to us, and that by faith it can be released. And Peter and John knew how to do that. And of course, you know, that realization. We go back a chapter to Acts chapter 2, and both Peter and John and those gathered on the day of Pentecost, we know, were filled with the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, where the Lord prophesied that he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That's what he said he would, you know, he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. God prophesied that through Joel. And Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost from the book of Joel on that day as he seeks to explain what happened. And we'll just read that again. We did look at it last week, but it says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I'll pour my Spirit on all flesh. I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Praise the Lord. Remember, the command from Jesus in the first chapter of Acts was to wait until they received the promise of the Father. Wait until you receive that. And they actually prayed for at least 40 days in expectation, in the lead up to the Jewish feast of the day of Pentecost. They prayed all of that time, seeking what upper room experience they had. And of course, we know what happened. But and understand and appreciate, the apostles and disciples had just been, we need to see this too, they've just seen the risen Lord Jesus. They just seen not only the risen Lord Jesus, but they actually 500 of them saw him arise and go bodily up into heaven. They saw it. 500 of them, the Bible says, saw him bodily arise and go and sit at the right hand of the Father. Wow, 500 people seeing that same thing. That wasn't a vision they were having. They all saw it occur because Jesus was resurrected bodily. And walked around, he'd come to their meetings. And can you imagine a meeting where you've already been to some meetings and Jesus turns up, comes walking through a wall? Can you imagine a meeting like that? I don't know about you, but I'd want to go to more meetings like that, wouldn't you? You know, I want to be in all the prayer meetings that they're having on, because Jesus might turn up. He wasn't opening the door to come, he'd just come in and appear among them. And it was that resurrected body. And, you know, we talk about, you know, what we look forward to in the end days, but that resurrected body is what we're going to get. We're going to get one just like it. Jesus came and actually joined them on the beach and ate with them as well. So it's a body that can eat and walk through walls as well. And I mean, it's a pretty good body to look forward to. You know, in this age, our bodies wear out as we grow older, but that one doesn't wear out. It's a good thing. It's something to look forward to. Amen. And, you know, we can see that they're busting to go and tell people the good news. But Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father. They've got some exciting things happening in that period, but Jesus says, I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. Why? Because that's the thing that's going to empower you to do the works, to do what you need to do, to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what's going to allow that to occur. So if you remember from last week, the scriptures were made clear. We are saved when we're born again. We looked at that. And, we looked at the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We looked at those scriptures very clearly. And, of course, the promise of God is that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's an additional upgrade. First upgrade is we get born again. We saw from Titus, the book of Titus, that's a washing and renewal by the Holy Ghost in our lives when we get born again. We are washed and made new. And there's a regeneration that occurs. But it's an additional upgrade and experience to the first one of being born again. It is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be actually, as was prophesied by Joel, and as was experienced on the day of Pentecost. Now, not having a go at any churches or any denominations, but there's a lot of churches and a lot of denominations out there who refuse and reject that infilling of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, that additional experience, okay? They reject that as being not for today. Stop when the last apostle died. They've got a few little things that they throw out there that actually tell you that that's not for today. Miracles stopped when the last apostle died. And I kind of go, well, you know, I'll still sit in fellowship with them because I know they're born again, most of them. You know, mostly born again. They've received Jesus as Lord and Saviour. They believed in their heart. They confessed with their mouth. They got born again. But somehow they were taught that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not for today. Now, Rosemary, not because I asked her to do it, but by inspiration of the Holy Spirit today, operated a gift of tongues and interpretation. She actually spoke out in a gift of tongues and, of course, interpreted that gift. All right? Now, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit, as we know. Now, that's I say the two of them together is the same as prophecy, because you hear a message from the Lord, what the Lord's saying into someone's life, or over a situation, a tongue and an interpretation equals prophecy. You might also just get a prophetic word, but those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They come as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being having that heart, or I like to say spirit to spirit connection. And it's so important, but I've found that that's the way we want to do church. That's the way we want to do Christianity, is with all that God's got for us. Amen? Amen. I mean, you know, reaching out and believing for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate is something we pray about. They do, and they only operate as the Spirit wills. So it's nothing, you know, if I could find the switch, I'd turn it on more often. But unfortunately, there is no switch for that. It's because the Holy Spirit says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate as He wills, not as we will. What we do is we make ourselves available. We make ourselves available for that activity of the Holy Ghost. Look what it says in Acts chapter 1, and we'll just go there too. Acts chapter 1. But this is Jesus talking. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen. Jesus remains our best example of someone empowered by the Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians believe, and as I've mentioned, Jesus did miracles and signs and wonders because he was the Son of God. Who thought that? Little hands going up, not really sure. Who thought that Jesus did all the miracles and signs and wonders he did because he was the Son of God? Come on. I have an altar call for people who aren't telling the truth this morning. That's what we'll do. A lot of people can think that. They think that Jesus did the miracles he did because he was the Son of God. And of course, what we see, and there's quite a study you could do as well, Jesus did the miracles that he did because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's our best example of someone empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was modeling that for us so that we could follow his example. Amen. There's a few people going, I'm not sure about that. Well, let me tell you, you can look it up and you can find it. Jesus emptied himself of his divinity to become a man. Now, he was still what's called, getting into theological terms here, the hypostatic union, okay? Some of you who have studied theology know the hypostatic union is that he's 100% God and he was 100% man. But he emptied himself. It's called the kenosis. He emptied himself, became a man. And then what John the Baptist, and we'll just read it. Let's just go there, me trying to tell you about it when the scriptures talk about it. John chapter 1 and verse 32 to 34, it says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, talking about Jesus receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, his first occasion. So we see again that to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we must have first come to Jesus to be born again. That's the first step. We must first come to him and receive him. Amen. So Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit and was constantly through his ministry giving God the glory for the miraculous. It's the Father that does the works, he would say often. He would give glory to God for the miracles that were going on. It's the Father that does the works. It's the Father that does the works. It's basically the Holy Spirit in my life that does the works. Amen. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. So, you know, there we are thinking that, well, Jesus was the Son of God and he did all the miracle signs and wonders because of that. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. He was empowered for the work that he was called to do. That ministry he did on the earth was done through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit as an example for you and I. That we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit in the works that we do. That we can walk in that same realm of the supernatural, knowing God's voice, knowing what he's saying, acting on God's word, you know, releasing our faith and seeing God's hand in our life on a more frequent basis. I don't like to say it, but I want to say this, is that, you know, Christianity is not just a set of beliefs that we, through our mind, grab a hold onto and say, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, I believe that. And as opposed to some other type of religion where they do pretty much the same thing. Christianity is powerful. The Christianity that God sent Jesus to bring us is one that has power and authority, and that we should be walking in it as a people. Amen. So for those who are born again believers, the baptism of the Holy Spirit should believe, because that's the upgrade. That's the, you know, the additional upgrade. But where we go from there to the place of greater, where we go from there is a place of greater sensitivity. And I know it's a practice. It's something that we work on. It's something that we work toward, is greater sensitivity to the moving of the Spirit. You know, if anything, I remember some of you might have heard of a lady called Catherine Kuhlman. Who's heard of Catherine Kuhlman? She was a great, you know, she would just come into meetings and just have huge meetings. A lot of people get saved, a lot of people get healed, etc., etc. But I like something I heard that she said, which was, as she said, before a meeting, she said, I would die 1,000 deaths. What she was talking about was she was just basically turning herself off so that everything that she did was by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That it was none of her and all of him. And so often when you hear about, you know, ministers and people that have been out there and done amazing things with God and filled stadiums, they talk about something very similar. A process that they just went through where they just emptied themselves so that it was all of him, all of God, and none of them. I'm inspired by that, and I from having been in ministry for a few years now, I kind of know what she was talking about, dying 1,000 deaths, where you just stop and just switch off yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to just actually come up to another place. And it's a quietness thing, and it's just a release thing, and it's a surrender thing, it's a submission thing, it's all of those things. But when you do, God comes to that surface place, you know, and of course he begins to minister and move through our hearts, touching other hearts and lives around us. Amen. But for each of us, there's a partnering with him that requires that greater sensitivity to his move and operations so that we can serve him with accuracy. That's what the outcome of that is. That spirit-to-spirit connection is a greater accuracy, a greater sensitivity to what he's saying, what he's doing, how he's moving, what he wants to, you know, to minister into someone's life. And that greater sensitivity, of course, that heightened awareness puts us in the front seat for the move of the Holy Spirit. So we don't miss those prompts and leadings of the Holy Spirit and those glimpses that he gives us, showing us things to come. Jesus telling the disciples he said, when the Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth and show you things to come. You start to get glimpses of the future, things that haven't happened yet. He starts showing you a little insight. You say, well, how does that work? Well, it's as the Spirit wills. As the Spirit wills. But what we do is we allow the Spirit of God to operate and function. And we submit ourselves to him for that to occur in our lives. And it becomes very powerful. Very, very powerful. And you say, well, we knew that we were coming back to Perth after we'd done a season of ministry pioneering churches in Queensland back in the 90s. We knew that we were coming back to Perth, and we were keeping it as a secret. We weren't telling no one. You know, we just knew that God had led, you know, just said, well, we just need to see what he's going to do and how he wants to do that. And okay, we're open to going back to Perth now. We've been here for a season now, and maybe, you know, God's okay. And God's really confirming it to us. And really quite an interesting season. And we just didn't know what was next. We just knew that we were going to be coming back to Perth. And it was, what was funny was that we went to a conference in 1997 over in Perth. And we'd been already ordained, but we hadn't been ordained under the Victory Life banner at that point. And so they called us up to be, I guess you could say, reordained under that movement, under the Victory Life movement. And so Rose and I came up, and someone took a video of it, so we've got a video of that somewhere, if it still works. But as we came up to be prayed for, and a few of the, you know, the leadership came around and laid hands on us, they started saying, and we all called from the place where you are, God's calling you back to another place, and this place will be da da da. They spilt the beans on video. And we couldn't even show the video because the prophets had come out and said exactly what we already knew in our hearts. You see, what that is that spirit-to-spirit connection. How could they know that? We didn't ring up ahead and say, hey, guess what? God's told us we're coming back to Perth. We didn't do any of that. We sat on what God showed us. But they knew, and they let that out. And that's the thing that we can expect as we start to move with the Holy Spirit, start to connect with him, that spirit-to-spirit connection. And it's in our hearts, it's in our spirits that it occurs. It's not like a message in the night or a phone call in the night from heaven. It's not like that. It's in our hearts, and he just gives you a knowing. And it's that seeing and knowing that God calls us all to. And again, that all unfolded, and for some of you who maybe not know the story, but eventually, I think it was the next year or the year after that, we stayed right where we were. We weren't going to move before our time, but then what happens, the Lord gave us the timing. The Lord showed me in the backyard one day that Julia, who was still quite a little baby or a young toddler at that time, that she wouldn't do school in Queensland. So that gave us timing. We knew when she was going to start school, and the Lord just spoke it very clearly. Julie won't do schooling here. She'll do that back in Perth. So we had our timing. And Julie is now 25, so you can get an idea of how long ago that was. But and then one day, just out of the blue, Pastor Margaret talking to me on the phone. She goes, I've just been praying, and I really felt to ask you if you might consider taking on our Bible college. And, you know, I said, well, Pastor, of course I'll pray about that. And of course, I got off the phone. I went, yes, yes. Then she asked me to take that on, of course, it was just such a thrill in my heart to be able to go and take the things that we learned from pioneering churches and go and impart that into the lives of students who are wanting to go into ministry and be involved in ministry. It was a thrill. And of course, coordinate that program. And of course, that was our next season of ministry, was running the Bible college. As you can see, the Holy Spirit wants to be so central to your life. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can see and know. You know, we can have those insights. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow out of us being filled with the Holy Spirit as he wills. Amen. I'd like just to finish today and consider a great example of Jesus being sensitive to the power of God working and through his life. And we'll just look at it, we'll pick it up. And so it was when Jesus returned, is Luke 8 verse 40. So what it was when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now the woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. The miraculous just released. And And we'll just read on. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" In other words, Jesus, everyone's touching you. You know, everyone's putting their hands on you. Everyone's reaching out to you. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Make a note, the power of God is tangible to us. The power of God is tangible to us. We can know when it's moving. That's all of us, amen? It's not just, you know, people that stand in a pulpit. That's all of us. You can know when the power of God's moving. And it's that greater sensitivity, I believe, that God's calling us all to come up to a greater awareness of. And look what it says now. When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, thinking she'd done something wrong. And she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." She reached out in faith. And we were talking about that earlier on. She reached out in faith to receive what God had. What God does have for all of us is what we can reach out to receive by faith. And she did that. Out of all the people that were looking for something, looking to connect with, she reached out by faith and just took what was there. And that was the healing that she needed. Amen. And the move of the power of God, the thing I want you to just take away today, the move and the power of God is tangible. It's something that we can sense and know, and first of all to our spiritual senses, and then acknowledged with our natural senses. So there's an acknowledgement of it as well in our natural senses. And we can grow in our sensitivity to the operations of God's Spirit. Paul's prayerful desire was that all of the Colossians church would develop in their spiritual understanding. Colossians chapter 1, last scripture. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 through to 14. It's a biggie, but let's read it. It says, "For this reason, we also," this is Paul talking and praying over the Corinthian church. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." Notice it. "With the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." There is a spiritual understanding that we can tap into. A spiritual, you know, a tangibleness of the Spirit. Look what it says. "Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious" what? "Power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." You know, and this morning, and as we do every Sunday, we make an invitation for those that want to make a final decision about how they want to live their life. You know, we talked about that first upgrade, and it's called the new birth. It's called being born again. It's called receiving Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. It's a simple prayer that we pray, but that's the first upgrade. Paul's talking that they would know the second upgrade and be sensitive in it. Be very sensitive to the moving of the Spirit, having a spiritual understanding that they can rely on and know and understand. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you haven't prayed that prayer, that simple prayer that says, "You know, Jesus, I want you to come into my life." If you haven't prayed that prayer before, today is another great opportunity for you to pray that prayer. It's called the prayer of salvation. And you know, what we do is we believe when we pray that prayer that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We believe that when he died, God raised him again from the dead. And of course, and in that action, we receive the forgiveness that he died on the cross to give us. We receive that. And we receive that into our lives. And what the Holy Spirit does, he comes and does a washing and a renewal in our spirits. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. First upgrade. Second upgrade, we can, as new believers, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, where the gifts operate, function in our life, the Holy Spirit moves as he wills in our life, etc., etc. That's an ongoing lifestyle. But I just want to make that invitation today. I sort of snuck it in on you there today because I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And because sometimes what happens, when we pray that prayer, people start thinking about lunch. They do. I think, oh, the meeting's closing. Oh, what are we doing now? And they start thinking. What I'd really like us as a church to do is that around that prayer of salvation time, and when the worship team's coming up, it's not shuffle around, move around and start getting up and heading out to the toilet and doing other things. Oh, the meeting's finishing now. Or, you know, just we should pray that if there's someone in the church who hasn't yet received Jesus, that they would start to feel a conviction in their heart. That they would start to begin to look and consider. And that we would actually join in and participate in that part of the service. And start to go, you know what? I haven't yet done that. I haven't yet received Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. And, you know, and allow the Holy Spirit to work. In this series, we're going to be looking, because we're talking about the promise of the Father. And in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit, what it means to quench the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some of that and ask ourselves some questions about how that works and functions. But, you know, I believe when it comes to the altar call, that we really do need to start to pray. Is there someone here today that doesn't know Jesus? Is there someone here today that doesn't yet and hasn't yet come to a place of knowing Him? And, you know, it's something that we all need to just a little bit of discipline. Because if we don't know Him, you know, there's a place where He begins to pull on our heart. And people need to be sensitive. People getting up and moving around during that time is very difficult to, you know, not always, but sometimes his pull is so compelling it doesn't matter what's going on. But we ought to be sensitive. We certainly need to be prayerful at this time of the service when we make that invitation. And I'm going to make that invitation today very simply. Is that we're going to sing a song. And perhaps after that song has been sung, and when we've finished that song, I'll dismiss the service so everybody can come up and move around and have the morning tea, and really encourage you to stay and have morning tea with us. But I want to pray with anyone that hasn't yet received Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Rose is here as well. We just want to stand with you and pray with you to receive Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And that's a very, very simple prayer that we can lead you through. And I encourage you today. Today is the day of salvation. Every day is a day of salvation. Amen. So let's just be praying as we sing this song for any person that's with us today that still yet needs to receive Him.